ஸ்வ தத்ஸவிதுர்வரேண்யம் பர்கோ தேவஸ்ய தீமஹி தியோ யோ ந ப்ரசோதயாத். மே வி மெடிடேட் ஆன் தட் சுப்ரீம் பீயிங் who dwells in the hearts of all. He is the source and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move, and have our being. May He illumine our hearts and may He guide us in every way. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. பீஸ், பீஸ், பீஸ். We have been studying the Viveka Chudamuni at the crest jewel of discrimination by the great seer philosopher Shankara. I shall read out to you what we studied last week. I will simply read that to you. Know the Atman, transcend all sorrows, and reach the fountain of joy. Be illumined by this knowledge, and you have nothing to fear. If you wish to find liberation, there is no other way of breaking the bonds of rebirth. What can break the bondage and misery of this world? The knowledge that the Atman is Brahman. Then it is that you realize Him who is one without a second and who is the absolute bliss. Realize Brahman, and there will be no more returning to this world, the home of all sorrows. You must realize absolutely that the Atman is Brahman. Then you will win Brahman forever. He is the truth, His existence and knowledge. He is absolute, He is pure and self-existent, He is eternal. Unending joy is none other than the Atman. The Atman is one with Brahman. This is the highest truth. Brahman alone is real. There is none but He. When He is known as the Supreme Reality, there is no other existence but Brahman. Isn't this the wonderful truth? This one sentence, for instance, there is none but He. You see, He is there. He is. We live, move, and have our being in Him all the time. Only because of our ignorance, we don't see. This universe that we see, it's misreading of Brahman, nothing else. This universe itself is Brahman, is God. But we don't sense, we don't experience, we don't feel because of that covering of ignorance. You see, we are blind. We are closed eyes. Our eyes are closed, so we don't see. But He is everywhere. He is everything. And this has to be experienced. You see, this is not a mere study, not mere reading and have an intellectual grasp. That doesn't help. Because we have to transcend sorrow, we have to transcend fear. And how can we do that? Until we realize that unending bliss, that one without a second, You see, there is fear when there is more than one. There is always fear. But where there is none but He, and there is one without a second, and that is the unending bliss, and you are that. You see, this is the supreme experience of truth. Now again let us read. Brahman is reality, the one existence, the absolutely independent of human thought or idea. Mark these words. Absolutely independent of human thought or idea. You see? Whether you believe in God or not does not matter. Even if you believe in God, doesn't matter. God is not dependent upon your idea, upon your thought. You see, everything in the relative universe, for instance, this object depends upon my vision, upon my experience, and I also exist because of this also. This experience is possible. Subject and object, both are there. And so, in the case of the absolute reality, there is no duality, no subject and object. No experiencer, an object of experience. Then what is it? What do we mean by experiencing God? This being. Just being. You are yourself. You are that. Of course, human mind cannot conceive it. Again, human mind alone can experience it. And how? When the mind is purified. You see, otherwise, it has no value. Mind experiences it. See, in the Upanishads we read two contradictory statements. One is, first it says, yato vacho nivartante, from whom the words cannot express aprapya manasasaha, whom the mind cannot reach. Mind comes away baffled, unable to reach. And then again, by the purified mind alone, it has to be known. So, two contradictory statements. The mind cannot reach. Not this mind, until this mind becomes purified. And what is that purified mind? It's crystal pure. All the impressions, all the thoughts are gone, are wiped out. You see, when all the impressions, all the waves of thought of the mind can be overcome, and there's a complete calmness and tranquility in the heart and mind, in the mind, then the truth becomes revealed. Brahman is the reality, the one existence, absolutely independent of human thought or idea. I have often said this, that nobody can have a conception or idea of God in the mind, in the thought. Because whatever you conceive is something imperfect or something that is finite, that is limited. What you define, if you define God, you define the indefinable. You make Him limited. And the absolute, the infinite, is one without a second. Nobody can define. But it's realizable, it's knowable. You see, it says, unknown and unknowable But more than known and knowable, in this sense, you become it. And that is the experience. For instance, a philosopher can speak or write about the Absolute. All right. But that is also an idea. You see, what he is writing about, what he is talking about, is an idea of the Absolute. And what the reality is, what guarantees there that the idea and the reality will correspond? In fact, it does not correspond. It's beyond all idea and thought. So it brings it very clearly, absolutely independent of human thought or idea. Because of the ignorance of our human minds, the universe seems to be composed of diverse forms. You see this universe of diverse forms. So many human beings, chairs, pillars, and all these are here. We see all this. And all this seems to be so real to us that what we are seeing is nothing but Brahman. You know, Swami Vivekananda that one time said, "Do not seek God, but see God." The illustration is, there's a rope lying there. And in darkness, in ignorance, you see, instead of the rope, you see a snake. But see the rope as it is. So he says, because of the ignorance of our human minds, the universe seems to be composed of diverse forms. It is Brahman alone. It is Brahman alone. Swami Vivekananda said also, in all your life, you have seen nothing but God. You are seeing God all the time. But you don't know. That's the illusion, that's the maya, that's the ignorance. And what an ignorance. A jar made of clay is not other than clay. It is clay essentially. From top to bottom it is nothing but clay. The form of the jar has no independent existence. What you see is a form. Or what you say is a name. Has that form any existence independent of the clay? What then is the jar? Merely an invented name. The form of the jar can never be perceived apart from the clay. What then is the jar? An appearance. The reality is the clay itself. The universe is an effect of Brahman. It is He who has become this universe. It can never be anything else but Brahman. Apart from Brahman, it does not exist. There is nothing beside Him. He who says that this universe has an independent existence is still suffering from delusion. He is like a man talking in his sleep. The universe is Brahman. So says the great seer of the Atharva Veda. The universe, therefore, is nothing but Brahman. It is superimposed upon him. It has no separate existence apart from its ground. You know, again, you see, as you read this or hear this, you may think this is pantheistic. You know, pantheism is to identify God with nature. with this universe. But this has different idea. You see, what I see or perceive or sense or experience, that I am not seeing Brahman. When I see the rope as snake, and I say it is a snake, though I am seeing the rope, I still do not see it. I see a snake. So this universe of name and form is a misreading of Brahman, is a superimposition of our own mind upon Brahman, upon the reality. If the universe, as we perceive it, were real, knowledge of the Atman would not put an end to our delusion. It's a very wonderful argument. You see the rope, you are seeing the rope, but you say it's a snake, you see the snake. All right. If the snake were real, and then a light fell upon it, and you see instead of the snake, you see the rope, how could the snake disappear if the snake was real? So when the Atman is realized, when Brahman becomes experienced, this universe disappears. If it were real, it would not have disappeared. You see, take for instance, you are dreaming. That dream is so real, you wake up. That dream has vanished. If that dream were real, you are still there. Your consciousness is still there. But you don't have that same experience when you wake up. So we consider that dream is a dream when you wake up. Because this waking experience contradicts the dream experience. So we consider the waking experience as more real than the dream experience. Now again, another awakening has to come. And when this awakening comes, you see Brahman. The universe has disappeared. And this consciousness of Brahman, when this awakening comes, you see Brahman, that never goes away. It remains with you. When, this I'm talking about the highest experience, not merely a vision, not merely an ecstatic vision, something more, something greater. You see, I have often told you this incident in my life with my master. I was arguing with another brother, and I said, when one attains to this, to samadhi, then only one sees God. And only in that higher state of experience one sees God. But in our, when we come down again, we don't see God. My master overheard me and he said, what nonsense are you talking? He said, you have become omniscient. That means you are talking nonsense. And then I said, do you mean to say that you can see God with your these eyes, physical eyes? And he said, show me the line where matter ends and spirit begins. Just try to understand that. When what we see matter, we don't see spirit. There's no division. This is matter and that is spirit. This universe, this is matter. And God is spirit. Yeah. It is all matter to us. But when this vision changes, when we get the divine sight, then all is Brahman. Then this name and form we may see again, but it has no reality. We see, as Ramakrishna said, that pure consciousness, the Divine Mother, pure consciousness, peeping in and through every corner of the universe. You see, our eyes change, our vision changes. It's the highest thing. You know, you can have one's a vision or ecstatic vision or experience, but that is not it. It is something beyond all that vision and experience. What we call Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And when you have that, then you see, you get a different eye, as it were. The eyes are not the same. Your vision is not the same. And there is a passage in Shankara. It's very difficult to translate. But I can say this way. When the eyes are opened to that knowledge, then he sees Brahmamayam Jagat. This universe is nothing but Brahman. This is what this great sage, Atharva, in the Atharva Veda says, the universe is Brahman. You see, having had that experience, and he has that experience all the time. If the universe, as we perceive it, were real, knowledge of the Atman would not put an end to our delusion. The scriptures would be untrue. The revelations of the divine incarnations would make no sense. These alternatives cannot be considered either desirable or beneficial by any thinking person. Sri Krishna, the incarnate Lord, who knows the secret of all truths, says in the Gita, although I am not within any creature, all creatures exist within me. I do not mean that they exist within me physically. That is my divine mystery. My being sustains all creatures and brings them to birth, but has no physical contact with them. It's very difficult to understand this verse. But the idea also is this, that the Lord, in Brahman, this whole universe exists. And yet again, it doesn't mean that this physical universe exists. You see, it's a mystery. It's a dilemma. You can't express. If this universe were real, we should continue to perceive it in deep sleep. But we perceive nothing then. Therefore, it's unreal like our dreams. The universe does not exist apart from the Atman. Our perception of it as having an independent existence is false, like our perception of blueness in the sky. How can a superimposed attribute have any existence apart from its substratum? Can the snake exist apart from the rope? We are superimposing the snake into the rope. It's only our delusion which causes this misconception of the underlying reality. No matter what a deluded man may think he is perceiving, he is really seeing Brahman and nothing else but Brahman. Remember this. No matter what a deluded man may think he is perceiving, he is really seeing Brahman and nothing else but Brahman. I quoted Swamiji, he said, "In all your life you have seen nothing but God." He sees mother of pearl and imagines that it is silver, but he is seeing the mother of pearl. He sees Brahman and imagines that it is the universe. But this universe, which is superimposed upon Brahman, is nothing but a name. Well, I think if we can digest this. Now, let us see, there are some questions here. Maharaj says, the mind is to be raised from the gross state to the subtle, then to the causal state, then higher still to the great cause, and finally to samadhi. Can you describe the state of Mahakarana? Thank you. I wish I could describe. I have not experienced that yet. Plotinus subscribed to the belief that through birth, part of the soul attached itself to earthly things. Not the whole of our soul sinks into our body. Some part of our ever remains in the divine sphere. Would you like to comment on this? It's very interesting. But of course, I do not agree with him. He expresses it differently than I would express it. You see, he divides the soul into two parts. One part is earthly, worldly. Another part remains divine always. But I describe it as the inner self, the real self, the inner being, and then the apparent self, the empirical ego. These two are separate. Not that there are two souls, but this apparent self, this empirical ego, is that inner self, that reality reflected upon mind-body, gives the appearance of an empirical ego. So the empirical ego may be anything, good, bad or indifferent. But the divine self is always divine. The gem, the diamond, though may remain in mud for centuries, does not lose its luster. So the divine self always remains divine. This empirical self, which is an illusory self, not a reality, that may be good or bad, wicked or anything. But when that becomes purified, that is purified in the sense, when we give this empirical ego, surrender this empirical ego to the inner self, to God, and the empirical self disappears, then the divine self becomes unfolded. You know, Christian mystics also point out, when this ego gets away from you, God fills in. It's the ego, that empirical self, that false self that we are hugging, that is the great obstacle, great obstruction to our vision of the Atman. And so you find in every religion this ideal. You see, if you are a non-dualist, you deny that empirical self. You are one with Brahman, your inner self. You are meditating upon the inner self. If you are a bhakta, devotee, you try to surrender your ego to God, to Brahman. Not I, but Thou, O Lord. And then you see what Sri Ramakrishna taught, how we must feel, try to feel, that we are instruments. God is the doer. I am the machine, He is the operator. He is the dweller in the body. And whatever one does, one thinks, is not done by Him, but by God. In other words, if you can give up the idea that I am the doer, I am the thinker, and if you can feel that God is the doer, God makes you think this way or that way, then you become free. I always thought that Brother Lawrence, continually in the presence of God, had reached the highest state of illumination. But Swami Brahmananda, in one of his talks, says that this constant presence is only a step on the way to samadhi. Will you comment on this? That's right. But Maharaj said, you may think that because Brother Lawrence thought of the presence of God, he reached the highest state of illumination. He was on the way to reaching the highest state of illumination. You see, when you attain that highest state of illumination, there is no thinking anymore. You don't think anymore. You are merged. You see, thinking also is a struggle. And there is a saying of Sri Ramakrishna that when it is hot, for instance, you take a fan and get the breeze. And you continue to fan yourself. But when the spring breeze blows, you don't fan. So, when you reach the highest illumination, there is no thinking on your part. You are not constantly thinking of God. You are constantly living in God consciousness. There is a big difference. One is a spiritual aspirant, another is perfected soul. Well, now ask. These are all the questions that I had here. They're very good.
The oral questions from the audience are being revoiced due to their being off mic during the original recording.
Now don't remain silent.
Swami, I don't wish to be disrespectful, but the problem of ignorance has always bothered me. If Brahman is everything, isn't it also ignorance?
That's an idea. But you see, it's an idea. An idea is an idea, not Brahman. You see, I answered your question in a way.
Swami, if there can't exist anything outside Brahman, how can this idea exist outside Brahman?
No, it doesn't exist outside Brahman. Whose is the ignorance, you see? Whose is the ignorance? One who is asking. There is no such thing as ignorance also. Because ignorance has no reality. What is ignorance? Lack of knowledge. It's a negative something. Lack of knowledge. That's ignorance. But let us be practical and say that we are in ignorance. Brahman is nothing but Brahman. But I don't see, I don't experience, because I am in ignorance. Let us admit that fact. And let us try to find out how we can overcome this ignorance. You see, otherwise it is semantic. But have common sense. If you are a spiritual aspirant, you hear this truth that there is nothing but Brahman. Good. But do I see it? No. I have still fear. I still have sorrow. I suffer. I have to overcome all that. And I can overcome all that if I experience what these people are saying, that everything is Brahman. So I am in ignorance. Now, show me the way to come out of it and follow that.
And is that possible for us?
Everybody. What do you mean? It's possible for us. Who else can find him but us? And the one condition is that you have to have a sense of ego. Because, you know, we say the lower animals cannot find God because the ego is involved in them and it has not yet evolved. And in order that we can transcend the ego, we have to have this ego. So it's only us, only we, human beings, can realize God, none else.
Swami, through human experience, you don't really get rid of ignorance.
No, human experience is human experience.
You only get rid of it through meditation, isn't that so?
No, this one thing you have to have in the first place, you have to know that you are in ignorance and you want to overcome it and realize Brahman. That's the only condition.
But you can go on having human experience and not find God unless you have something else.
Yes.
But then you have to meditate and not go on with the human experience.
But then you can't sit and close your eyes and meditate upon God, but open your eyes and meditate upon God. In whatever you do, in your actions, in your thoughts, try to meditate on God. You know, there's a beautiful truth I saw in one of the scriptures the other day. I wanted to note down, but I forgot. And this scripture says, the way to control the mind. It says, wherever your mind goes, say, it becomes passionate. Instead of seeing this as passionate, cover it with God, presence of God. Wherever the mind goes, whatever distractions come, see God in the distraction itself.
How can you use discrimination if you see God in everything?
You are above discrimination, beyond discrimination. You don't have to discriminate. Discrimination is before you learn to see God.
What is the best way to see God as the operator?
Yes, don't you know? Sri Ramakrishna used to repeat that. God, Mother, God, thou art the operator, I am the machine. Thou art the dweller in the house, I am the house. Thou makest, whatever thou makest me do, I do. Whatever thou makest me think, I think.
What is the best way of feeling that?
The best way, you see, when you do that, for instance, that God is the operator, you are thinking of God. You see, that is the best way, to think of God. You see, the whole secret is this. No matter how, I translate one passage, Sanskrit passage, this way. No matter how, but by hook or crook, keep your mind in God. You see, that is the whole secret. no matter how you do it. But do it. Keep your mind in God. See, there's literally, jena kena prakarena, by any means whatsoever, give your mind to Krishna, to God.
Sahanau bhunaktu sahavīryam karavāvahai tejasenāvadhitamastu mahavidvishāvahai Om. May Brahman protect us. May he guide us. May he give us strength and right understanding. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.